This evening, if you have your Bibles, and turn with me to 2 Samuel. We're going to continue our study through 2 Samuel. This evening, David is facing challenges from without. And he's facing challenges from the nation of the Ammonites. As I was preparing the message for the night, and I'm looking at the world situation today, it's very interesting. Nothing really changes. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes that nothing changes. And it's really true. If you look at the circumstance that David found himself in, is not unlike the circumstance that Israel is finding itself in. David, before he became the king of the United Kingdom, had been anointed by Samuel, but Saul was still the king, and Saul had pursued David for 15 years. And during that time, the king of Ammon, or the Ammonites, had befriended David. It's really how the extent of his friendship really isn't revealed in Scripture, but we know that it happened because of the events that are going to transpire here. And David is going to show his kindness to the family of the former king of the Ammonites as the king has passed away. So let's begin by turning to chapter 10 of 2 Samuel. We may also look at 1 Chronicles 19, which has the same account in it that we find in chapter 10 of 2 Samuel, with a few more details. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came unto the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun, their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city, and to spy it out, and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanun took David's servants, and shaved off one half of their beards, and cut their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them on their way. Then they told it unto David. He sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob, and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and a king, Mecha, 1,000 men, and of Ishtab, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering of the gate, and the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and of Ishtab and of Mecha were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose all of the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, If the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men of our people, for the cities of our God and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him, unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians fled, then they fled also before Abishai, and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon, and came to Jerusalem. And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together. And Hadadezer sent and brought out of Syria that there were beyond the river, and they came to Helam, and Shobach, the captain of the host of Hadadezer, went before them. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel. And David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, who died there. And then when all the kings that were servants to Hadarasar saw that they were smitten before Israel, he made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word. And Lord, help us to see just some of the things that we see here and the importance of understanding the truths that are there. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know, but as I read that account and you listen to it, it almost sounds like you're picking up the newspaper and seeing what's happening today. In the current day Israel, if you look at what Israel did, much like David, they had extended peace to the Palestinians, and in Gaza, Israel had really helped the Palestinians in Gaza. They had initially, when they were in Gaza a number of years ago, before they gave the land totally back over to them and withdrew totally from it, they put in sewer systems and water plants and and began to build some of the infrastructure that they needed. Well, then they were kicked out, and we see that the world gave millions of dollars to the Palestinians, but Hamas took that money, and instead of using it for the Palestinians, they built basically 400 miles of tunnels under Gaza, by which they could conceal what they were really doing, building weapons, storing weapons, preparing war against Israel. And at the same time, the people living in the kibbutzes along the coast or along the border with Gaza were hiring the people that lived in Gaza to come and work for them and showing kindness to them. Well, as you see here, the Ammonites, and you go back and look at the history, the Ammonites really were related to the Israelites because they're the descendants of Lot. Israel is descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. But we see that there's always been contention between the sons, the children of Lot, and the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Israelites. And it wasn't the Israelites that were causing the problem. It's always been the Ammonites and the Moabites. And here we see that the king of Ammon had befriended David when David was in need as he was fleeing from Saul. And David showed kindness. And I want you to just look at, David didn't start this war. Israel didn't start this war that we're seeing today. As David was trying to show kindness and respect to the king of Moab, who had died, the son of the king received very bad counsel. And this is another lesson of something that never changes. You need to look at the people that you associate yourself with. And you need to look at what their motivation is. And you need to know whether do they stand for truth or do they build their whole perception on lies. These advisors, if you would, to the son of the king of Moab, of Ammon, falsely accused David of coming only to spy that he might conquer and take over all that that young man would inherit to be the king of and to destroy him. It was not David's intents at all. And yet, the counselors of the prince of Ammon lied to him and gave him horrible advice. Now, I want you to understand the advice they gave him. Were the Ammonites even strong enough to come against Israel all by themselves? Well, the answer is no. And even as you see in the current Middle East situation, the one who really hates Israel is Iran. And yet Iran doesn't want to come against Israel themselves, but they have all these proxies that they pay to come against Israel. They supply them with the weapons, they supply them with the money, they supply them with everything they need to try and destroy Israel. Well, what did the Ammonites do? Well, the first thing they did, instead of gathering their army together, they went out and hired the Syrians. And there were two groups of Syrians they hired. They're the ones from the north and the ones from the south. And the Syrians appeared to be much better armed to fight against Israel, because in this account it doesn't tell you as many chariots, but if you go to the account in the First Chronicles, it's thousands of chariots that they have. Now Israel doesn't have chariots. The only chariots they've got is a few chariots that David kept from when he defeated the Philistines. And most of the chariots were destroyed because David was told by the Lord not to trust in chariots, but to trust in Him. Well, if you look at from a perspective of the world, you'd say the Ammonites, they've done a decision that's going to be able to enable them to defeat Israel, and there's going to be no hope for Israel. If you look at what's happening in the Middle East right now, one of the things that they're talking about is how that Iran is really upset because some of their high military people of the Iranian guard were killed in Syria on a plane strike by Israel. And one of their highest commanders was killed along with his assistant and some of their other lower officers. And so Iran said, Israel is going to pay. So what did they do? They immediately went out and talked about how that they're going to trump up Hezbollah and they're going to trump up Hamas and get them to attack again. And then Iran might even do something against Israel, but they're going to do it from a distance. They're going to send drones, they're going to send this, they're going to send that. Ammon did the same thing. They went and got the Syrians to fight on their behalf. And as they got the Syrians to fight on their behalf, they thought, well, now we can get Israel on two fronts. They'll have the Syrians and the Ammonites. Sounds a lot like what's going on in Israel today. Israel's got the western front against Hamas, the northern front against Hezbollah, the eastern front against Syria and Iran. And so we see that they're surrounded by their enemies. David had the same problem. Well, what was David going to trust in? Well, David sent his men out to meet them, but his trust was in the Lord. It wasn't in chariots. And we see as they go out there, the initial battle appears that Joab may have a problem because he's got them coming on two fronts. So what he does is he takes his brother and gives his brother half of the men, and he takes the other half of the men, and he says, you go in and take care of the Ammonites as they are coming from that direction, and I'll take care of the Syrians as they come from this direction. And if I see that you're in trouble, I will come and help you. And if you see that I'm in trouble, you come and help me. Well, initially, Joab has tremendous victory that occurs very quickly against the Syrians. Now, how could this be? Because the Syrians had greater weapons. They had chariots. They had more men. Everything looked like they should win the battle because God was on David's side. And it's interesting, if you look at the history of Israel, much that happened in this battle can be seen as happened in some of the battles and wars with Israel in the past. If you've ever had a chance to get the book Svi, that is, he writes, that's his autobiography, and he was a Holocaust survivor, and he was a young boy that came from Europe after the Holocaust, after World War II in there, and he got to Israel, and he was in his late teens, and when he got there, the war for independence was just starting in Israel when he arrived. And in the book, he tells about how there were incidents where the Arabs were greatly outnumbering the Jewish army, the Jewish fighters. They had greater weapons. They had many, many, many more men. They had things that the Jewish people didn't even have. And he explains on a couple different battles. One, there was a battle where all these Arabs were coming and they had greater weaponry and they were coming and there was no hope for the Jews. And all of a sudden, they stopped, turned around, and ran away. And he said it was a miracle because God provided for them. You almost see the same thing here. Joab goes out, and the Syrians begin to see Joab come, and they turn and run away. And the same thing then happens with the Ammonites. When they see that the Syrians are running away, they turn and run away. But just like what happened during the War of Independence, it didn't stop. And we see that in this account, the same thing occurs again. It appears that Israel has gained the victory. And they go back to Jerusalem. And they think the battle is over, but it's not over. Because what the Syrians do is they go home and they report to what's happened, and they gather together all of their generals and all of their troops, and they say, we're going to go and we're going to take care of Israel. And so they're marching against Israel en masse. And David hears about it, and what does he do? He gathers together all of the troops of Israel, not just the men that were Joab's and Joab's brother, but rather he gathers together from all the tribes of Israel and comes against them. And they have a great victory. Now, I want you to understand, Satan's tactics don't change. The lessons to be learned from this. Number one, we need to listen to who our counselors are and look at whether they're godly or ungodly, whether they're truthful or not truthful. You realize none of this would have had to have happened. David had no intention of taking over Ammon. He had no intention of coming against the Ammonites and destroying them. Just like Israel today had no intention of going in and conquering Gaza. As a matter of fact, they'd given it back under Ariel Sharon in the early 2000s. And yet the people listened to the lies of these false counselors, and this prince listened to their lies and he went to war against Israel. But really what he was doing was going to war against God, because he was going against the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people. He was going against David, the one who God had anointed, and all because he listened to wrong counsel. Had he not listened to those counselors, David had come to show him honor. And David had come to extend peace, not a sword. It's interesting that right now in our world, people are calling for that Israel should stop the fight in Gaza and that they should stop the fight against Hamas. And they're making false accusations against Israel. But if you look at what it is, Israel didn't start the war. They didn't come with a sword. It was Hamas that came with the sword, just like Ammon came with the sword. And Israel had to defend itself, just like David had to defend himself. And God called him to do it. So the first thing is we need to listen to good counsel, not evil counsel. And even as Christians, we can listen to counsel that's bad and it can impact us in making decisions that can result in horrendous consequences even in our lives as Christians. The Apostle Paul warns about that, where he tells us that we should not, that Christians should not be gossips, we should not harbor anger, we shouldn't be malicious, we shouldn't have these characteristics in our life. Why? Because all of those things open ourselves up to ungodly counsel and to making wrong decisions. But rather we should be led by the Spirit of God and possess the fruit of God's Spirit, love, peace, joy, hope, and that we should express these to others in the manner in which we conduct ourselves and live. Second thing is to realize that the battle really isn't ours, but it's God's. The battle really isn't ours, but it's God's. The battle was, David was the one that was orchestrating how Israel would fight the battle by sending Joab and then Joab's brother out to do the battle. But the real battle was God's. It was really behind all of this that we read in this chapter and also in chapter 19 of First Chronicles. It's a spiritual warfare. What we're seeing in the Middle East right now, what we're seeing in our world right now, is really driven by spiritual forces. Forces that the Scriptures tell us, number one, Satan wants to destroy Israel. He wanted to destroy Israel here. Satan wanted to destroy God, and we see that the first way he tries to do it is from without. He's tried to come against Israel with the Philistines. He tried to come against Israel now with the Ammonites. In the Middle East today, he's trying to destroy Israel through Iran and its proxies, trying to get the whole world to turn against Israel. That's spiritual. Because what has Israel done but give marvelous good things to the world? And are all Jewish people wonderful? No. Does Israel make every decision right? No. But Satan's goal is to destroy them. Why? Because he's warring against God. And the thing that we need to see is nothing's changed there from the time of David. We're going to see next week that the second way that Satan attacks is from within. And if he can't get us from the outside, he comes within. And one of the ways that he gets us from within is when we open ourselves up to ungodly counsel and don't seek the will of the Lord, but try to do things in our own wisdom and our own strength. At this point in time, David was walking with God and calling on the name of the Lord and seeking the Lord's direction and the Lord's help. He didn't trust in chariots. He didn't trust in his great ability as a military mind, but he trusted in the Lord as his protector and guide. And we do need to do that. But we also need to realize none of this had to happen had the Prince of Ammon not listened to ungodly counsel and opened their whole country up to a spiritual attack on Israel that led to the loss of many soldiers' lives and loss of a lot of things. And it says in the book of, well, it says it here, and it's even more evident in First Chronicles, that these nations now began to serve David. They became his servants because they tried to destroy him when all he wanted to do was show them honor. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand your word. Help us to understand the importance of the counsel that we listen to. Help us to understand the importance of the decisions we make. And Lord, may we look to You in Your direction, and may we not be motivated by our fears, our lusts, our wrong desires, and our wrong motives. And Father, may we instead seek to do Your will and honor and glorify Your name. And may we seek to always stand on the side of truth. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to hymn number 491. 491.